Daniel chapter 12 today on Through the Word, the end, and in more ways than one. It's the last chapter, and it also finishes up the prophecy of the time of the end. Now, if the prophecy thus far had your head spinning, you're not alone. Here in chapter 12, even Daniel tells the angel, "I heard, but I did not understand. So I asked, 'My Lord, what will the outcome of all this be?'" I appreciate this. Daniel is a little lost, and he wants to know the outcome. What is all of this leading to? And Daniel 12 helps with that. It zooms out, pulling us out of the reeds of detailed focus, and helps us see the bigger picture for the end times. Verse 1 begins by telling us that the archangel Michael, who apparently has the assignment to protect Israel, will arise in the end times. Remember, this is an angel talking, and he reminds Daniel that there's a spiritual battle alongside the battle of nations. And then, "There will be a time of distress, such as has not happened from the beginning of nations until then." That's quite a statement. The greatest time of distress ever. That is the tribulation. And as I read it, it's the final seven-year period in chapter 9's 77s. And watch this. "But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered." In the tribulation, in the great distress, there is deliverance for everyone written in the book. What book? Revelation refers seven times to the Lamb's Book of Life, opened at the end of days, and every name written there will inherit eternal life with Christ. Here in verse 2, "Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt." This is it. The dead arise for the final judgment at the great white throne. Revelation 20 has more detail, but there's something about its placement here. After so much prophecy that already came true to a T, that puts the fear of God in me. This isn't just a story. It will happen. So what do we do about it? Verse 3 brings us back to wisdom. "Those who are wise," or those who impart wisdom, "will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever." If verse 2 stops me, then 3 gets me moving again. How do the wise respond to days of trouble? What does wisdom do, knowing that the end of all things will come, that it is a reality? They impart wisdom, and they lead many to righteousness, to get right with God. Because right with God means your name is in the book of life, and on judgment day, that's your only hope. And the wise, the ones who get it, who pour their lives into leading many to get right with God, will shine like the brightness of heavens, like the stars forever and ever. What a picture. Take a good look at the bright stars on a dark night, out in the wild. Incredible. And why do the wise shine so bright? Because the world is dark, with so many foolish ideas. The problems of our time are many and complex, and they need wisdom in politics and education and environment and so much more. But we cannot begin to improve anything without personal righteousness. Get right with God for today and for eternity. Don't get religion and don't get self-righteous. Get right with God. How? There's only one way. The same Bible that predicts the future with phenomenal accuracy gives one answer. If you try to work, try to earn your way to heaven, Romans says, "There is no one righteous, not even one." But then Jesus showed up with the gospel, and he came to pay the price for our sins and make us right with God. Back in Romans, "This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile," that's between religious or non-religious, "for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus." That's how to get right. Put your faith in Jesus, and your name will be in the book. And then live right. Not to earn your way to heaven, but but in gratitude, because you are right and because you know that how you live it will matter on that day. And it will matter that you led many to righteousness. Back in verse 4, the angel adds, "But you, Daniel, roll up and seal the words of the scroll until the time of the end." Hey, for Daniel, it's still 536 BC. These words will make a lot more sense later. For you and me, the time may be now. But back in verse 5, Daniel sees two angels standing on either side of the river, and one of them asks the man clothed in linen, that's the one I believe is Jesus, "How long will it be before these astonishing things are fulfilled?" In other words, how long will it last before it's over? Verse 7, "The man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, lifted his right hand and his left hand toward heaven, and I heard him swear by him who lives forever, saying, 'It will be for a time, times, and half a time,'" which is usually interpreted as a year, 2 years, and half a year. That means 3.5 years, exactly half of the 7-year tribulation. So here's the timeline. 7-year tribulation, beginning with the rapture. The halfway point is 3.5 years, and the great tribulation is the second half. Then the final battle at Megiddo, and the second coming of Jesus ends the battle. Then the dead rise for judgment at the great white throne. That's how I read it anyway. Back in verse 7, "When the power of the holy people has been finally broken, all these things will be completed." Wow, that's interesting. The holy people have to lose before they win, broken before made whole. And I love verse 8. This is Daniel. "I heard, but I did not understand. So I asked, 'My Lord, what will the outcome of all this be?' He replied, 'Go your way, Daniel, because the words are rolled up and sealed until the time of the end." It's okay, Danny. You don't need to understand it all. It'll make sense in the end. And watch this. "Many will be purified, made spotless, and refined, but the wicked will continue to be wicked. None of the wicked will understand, but those who are wise will understand." And once again, it's the wise who get it. They understand that God purifies and refines us through trials, even through the tribulation, that God prepares us for judgment day. But the wicked don't get it. End times, judgment, forget it. They'll just keep being wicked. Then verse 11, "From the time that the daily sacrifice is abolished and the abomination that causes desolation is set up, there will be 1,290 days. Okay, that 1290 is the same as 3.5 years, plus a month, I don't know why. But it looks like the abomination that causes desolation marks that halfway point. "Blessed is the one who waits for and reaches the end of the 1,335 days. And there's another extra 45 days. I guess it will all make sense then, but the key is to wait it out, endure the tribulation, and reach the end. And what a great way to close out all this prophecy. There is so much here, so much to know and understand, but above all, it is for us to reach the end. Eyes on the prize, watch and be ready for Jesus' return. Be found faithful and found leading many to righteousness. And check out the final word given to Daniel. Daniel, who received the most phenomenal prophecies of kings and kingdoms coming and going. Daniel, who in his lifetime watched as kings rose and fell. The boy who saw Israel fall, but purposed in his heart not to defile himself. Daniel, who served one king after another faithfully, who lived with integrity among hypocrites and idolaters, who outlived kingdoms, who served God as king while living in another man's kingdom. Daniel is told, "As for you, go your way till the end. You will rest, and then at the end of the days, you will rise to receive your allotted inheritance." What inheritance? The kingdom, of course, because the saints of the Most High will receive the kingdom and will possess it forever. Yes, forever and ever. As for you, dear listener, choose this day whom you will serve, because the king you serve will determine the kingdom you inherit. As for you, dear listener, choose this day whom you will serve, because the king you serve will determine the kingdom you inherit. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.